risk takers out there. Welcome to Texas Real Estate and Finance Podcast, market update for the week of May the 21st. I'm your host, Mike Mills, a North Texas mortgage banker with Geneva Financial. And I'm here each and every week as your real estate Paul Revere, riding through the streets of the internet, making you aware of what's happening out there in the world of housing. I'm here to be your eyes and ears while you're working your butt off every single day. I've got your back, covering all the news and events that are affecting your business each week. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but it's always the truth. At least how I see it. So I appreciate you guys stopping by each week to say hello and sharing your valuable time with me. It's what keeps me hollering into this mic each week. So a big thank you for being here on this journey with me. All right, so what's on tap for today's episode? Well, since I'm in North Texas, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that the Mavs and the Stars both advanced to the Western Conference Finals last week. The Mavs are going to face the Minnesota Timberwolves and their fourth-year phenom, Anthony Edwards. People are already throwing out the Jordan comparisons here, but legends are made in the playoffs, so we'll see what this young star has in store for the Mavs. I'm picking the Mavs in seven, because I'm a homer, and because the NBA likes seven-game series. The Stars are going to play either the Vancouver Canucks or the Edmonton Oilers. Right now, that series is tied 3-3, but it will be determined by the time this episode airs. Honestly, I'm not much of a hockey fan, at least as compared to basketball, so I don't have a ton of thoughts on this one. But go Stars. Either way, there's two Metroplex teams playing in Western Conference Finals right now. And if you remember, your Texas Rangers are coming off their first ever World Series. So right now, there are three teams in North Texas that are playing at a very high level. Although there does seem to be one team missing, though. Supposedly, it's the Star of Dallas. But they haven't been to a championship game in almost 30 years. So I'll just leave that right there for now. But hey, it's a great time to be a sports fan in North Texas. So soak it up, guys. This stuff doesn't happen very often. The Metroplex is going to be lit for the next few weeks. It is a great time to be living in North Texas. And if you don't live here, get here as fast as you can. Okay, enough of my personal interest. Let's get into why you tuned into the podcast today in the first place. So today we're going to talk about where mortgage rates are, as always. We actually had rates that started with a 6 for like a hot minute for the first time since early April, but they've crept back above 7%, and I'll tell you why. I've got updated housing data from last week. Inventory is still pretty low in most parts of the country, but builders are pulling back on housing starts. We'll look at the reasons behind that. I'll tell you how one of the big boys in the online real estate portal world is working to further its position in the market as a national broker, offering healthcare, 401ks, and real estate leads. And finally, I want to tell you about a very underused but incredibly useful loan product that could help your clients who've been looking for a home but just can't find the one. Yes, there is a loan that could help your client find the home of their dreams, and it may even be a home that they've already seen. I'll tell you how at the end. So, as always, let's start with your weekly mortgage rate update. After a brief stint below 7% last week because of job market weakness and inflation coming in flat, as of Monday, May the 20th, the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate is about 7.125%, and the average 30-year FHA loan is about 6.625%, according to Mortgage News Daily. Now, the average 15-year conventional rate is about 6.5% right now, and the average jumbo rate is about 7.375%. And if job market weakness continues, you could expect to see all these rates get into the sixes sometime in the summer, fueling more housing demand, which we could all use a little more of that right now, right? So right now, as far as rates are concerned, we're staying pretty sticky in the low 7% range. And with Jerome Powell coming out and saying that there's no expectations for further rate hikes, even after many in the market have been calling for that over the last several weeks, it just gives us even further indication that the Fed does not see the economy staying strong and expects there to continue to be an economic pullback in the coming months. But as I've stated several times in the most recent updates, if you want to know where mortgage rates are going to trend, you just need to pay attention to the job data. The economy only added 175,000 jobs in April, missing the expectations of 250,000 by quite a significant margin. And there were significant revisions announced last week to the third quarter job numbers, showing a loss of 200,000 jobs. And that was a revision down by almost 700,000 jobs from the initial reported headline. So all those big rate bumps that we experienced over the last year because of the BLS or the BS BLS numbers, all those numbers have been revised way down. But markets move on headlines, not on revisions. And those revisions are gonna keep coming in the next few months as well, not only to the job data, but also GDP and inflation. You see, there's an incentive right now for the government to show you that the economy is humming along and killing it because we're in an election year. And regardless of what the media tells you, people vote with their dollars and wallets and how the economy is doing. It's always the number one issue. And right now, consumer sentiment is at 6-month lows because consumers are pulling back on all kinds of purchases, according to a recent article in the Washington Post. The article states that McDonald's, Home Depot, Under Armour, and Starbucks are all reporting disappointing earnings. Walmart, however, is reporting its strongest quarter this week because Walmart's recession-proof. And it's being bolstered by high-income shoppers who are electing to shop at Walmart versus Target or other slightly higher-end retailers and grocers. And when things continue to contract as they are, then jobs get affected. And when job losses continue to mount, that's when the unemployment rate goes up. And when the unemployment rate goes up, even by just a few more ticks, that's when you'll start to see the Fed look to cut rates before the economy gets too far down the toilet. Meanwhile, the stock market's going to continue to climb in this weird upside down universe that we're all living in, because they know the same thing that we do. When the Fed cuts rates, the market feels like we're headed back towards cheap money. True or not, that's what the expectation is. So in a really weird twist, you can actually see the stock market increase with signs of an economic downturn, which is absolutely nuts because this whole thing just seems to be broken. But hey, we're here for the lower rates. So as the economy continues to head in the wrong direction, you'll see rates continue to head lower. And if you're looking for more activity in housing, then lower rates will certainly be a step in that direction. All right, let's get into some housing data now. So rates are trending down, but what is the impact on the housing market as a whole with those rates trending in that direction? Well, right now the demand for real estate is at some of the lowest levels that we've seen in 30 years because rates have remained elevated over the last 18 months. But even with that backdrop, the median home price in the US hit a new record high in April, up over 6% from this time last year. Well, why is that? Well, let me turn my broken record back on and give you the same answer I've been giving since I started this podcast. Low supply, not enough inventory, too few sellers. However you want to say it, even with high rates and low demand, prices are still going up. Well, Mike, you say, builders most certainly know this as well and must be planning to build at a record-breaking pace, right? Wrong. Right now, instead of ramping up permits and construction of single-family homes, builders are actually moving in the opposite direction. Single-family home starts fell by 0.5% in April compared to the previous month. And the number of single-family permit applications also dropped 3% month over month and 2% from this time last year. However, single-family completions are nearing highs from this time last year. But keep in mind, completions are houses that were already planned on being built and have been in the works for the last 12 to 18 months. And what happened 12 to 18 months ago? Rates went up. Since then, they've pulled back. So you're gonna see this completion number decline over the coming months since starts and permits are declining right now. And although those numbers don't seem like big drops, when permits are already trending significantly below household formations, which they are, and have also been on a steady decline for the last several months, it's just another indication that home prices are not coming down anytime soon. It's just basic economics. Simple supply and demand. So why aren't builders planning on building more homes, even with such a low supply level right now? Well, mostly due to builders lacking confidence in buyer demand for the next several years due to high interest rates. So to combat this anticipated low demand, they're building fewer homes. And on top of that, they're planning on building smaller homes in the coming years as well, because fewer homes mean prices will continue to go up, and smaller homes mean profit margins are maintained in the homes that are being built. You got to maintain those hefty margins to keep investors happy and stock prices up. I think they call this shrinkflation for housing. But on a positive note, listings for pre-owned homes are actually increasing. In fact, overall housing inventory grew by almost 10,000 units last week, up 7,000 units compared to this time last year. And we set a new recent peak for weekly inventory added this week at 578,000 units. So bottom line is, even though overall demand is certainly down because of these higher rates, that has not, and most likely will not, translate to lower prices. In fact, any decline in the median new home prices over the next several months will more likely be because of smaller homes coming to the market, driving the median price down, not because of overall prices decline. So prices keep rising, and it isn't because of demand. It's a supply issue, and has always been a supply issue since we got started down this road. Just highlighting my point that home affordability doesn't look to be easing anytime in the near future. So get it while you can. All right, now let's talk about a big player in the online real estate space that's been shifting its focus over the last several months. With sales volume on the decline, realtors are jumping brokerages at a greater pace right now as compared to 2023. They're looking for better splits and brokerages who can offer more bang for their buck. And while there is a battle going on with the big real estate websites out there for search supremacy between Zillow, Redfin, Realtor.com, Movoto, and Homes.com, Redfin has actually turned its sights on all you agents out there, and they've decided to go all in on the brokerage channel. They're positioning themselves to have a much larger national footprint and become a place where agents hang their licenses. And they're doing it in a way that most brokerages cannot or will not. So in an announcement on Friday, Redfin said that they were expanding their Redfin Next payment plan, rolling it out on August 11th in the following markets: Austin, Boise, North Carolina, Columbus, Denver, Fort Myers, Grand Rapids, Indianapolis, Inland Empire, Kansas City, Memphis, Minneapolis, Nashville, New Mexico, Palm Springs, Portland, Raleigh, Sacramento, Salt Lake City, San Antonio, Seattle, Spokane, St. Louis, and Virginia. First launched in October of 2023 in San Francisco and Los Angeles, agents who work in the Redfin Next markets can earn commission splits of up to 70% for transactions that they generate on their own, and up to 40% for client leads that they receive via the Redfin's website. Agents on the Redfin's Next payment plan are W-2 employees who receive benefits, including healthcare, 401k matches, mileage, dues, technology tools, and team support. They'll also have all marketing expenses for listings paid, including photography, staging, yard signs, and other collateral materials. In December, the Glenn Kelman-helmed firm announced it was expanding the pay structure to its San Diego and Orange County, California markets. That was followed by a second expansion in March of 2024 to launch Redfin Next in 7 additional markets, including Chicago, Connecticut, Dallas, Miami, New York City, Washington, D.C., and the growing South Florida hub of Palm Beach. Now, since launching this new platform, Redfin says it's recruited over 140 top-producing agents in these markets. So, Redfin's making realtors W-2 employees. How do you feel about that? You think it's a good thing or a bad thing? Let me know in the comments. Well, I think it all just depends on your point of view. If you're an established agent with a good book of business, I wouldn't think that this would be a very attractive model for you to work for. However, if you're just starting out or if your business has been struggling a little bit and could use a little income and stability, then this might be a really good fit. Redfin's the third most trafficked real estate search site behind Zillow and Realtor.com. So having a built-in system to generate leads and get full benefits could be a very attractive thing for many agents who are looking to find their footing in this market. And with commission splits pretty similar to some of the national brokerages that we all know and love, it looks like Redfin may be finding its lane in this new age of real estate. And that lane is not to be the national listing service, but instead the national real estate brokerage. Time will tell if this actually works out, but I, for one, am going to be paying close attention to how they do, because come August, real estate and what it means to be a realtor is going to start to change. It might be a slow change, but change nonetheless. And right now, everyone's trying to find their place in this new era of real estate. And this is just the play that Redfin is making. But I'm pretty sure there's going to be plenty more moves to come, and we'll be here keeping an eye out for you. Okay, finally, I want to tell you about a very underused home loan product that could be the key to helping those picky clients with very little inventory to choose from find the home of their dreams. And it might even be a home that they had previously passed on. How you say? Well, right now, even with low inventory, there's still quite a few homes out there that have been on the market for a little while and that are having a really hard time moving. Now, it could be because of the location, but more often than not, it's because of the price. And not that the house couldn't be worth the price that it's listed at, but that in its current condition, the price just simply isn't attractive enough to buyers willing to pay it. And that is where we come in, your friendly neighborhood lenders. So are you familiar with the FHA 203K loan, the Fannie Mae Homestyle Renovation Loan, or the Freddie Mac Choice Renovation Loan? If you are, great. Let me refresh your memory real quick. And if you aren't, then I'm about to open up a whole new world for you. So how do these rehab loans work? And how can they transform the not quite or almost perfect home into your client's dream home? Well, it's not as complicated as you might think. Rehab loans are just mortgage loans that combine the purchase price with renovation costs into a single loan at the time of purchase. And the requirements to get these loans for your buyer are no different than a regular purchase loan. Credit, income, debt, assets are all measured the same as a regular FHA or conventional loan. The benefit of these loans is that they let your buyer borrow against the future value of the home once the upgrades are completed. So let's use the example of a Fannie Mae Homestyle loan. Now, the home in question is listed currently at $300,000, let's say. But with a few upgrades, it could be closer to, say, $375,000 based on the square footage and the recent sales in the area. However, the house hasn't been well maintained, or it was owned by one of those awesome iBuyers who didn't do anything to the property when it was listed for sale, and it just looks and shows terribly. But your buyer loves the location, the schools, and the neighborhood. They just don't love certain aspects about the house. But you know, if the house had about $50,000 of repair work and upgrades added to it, it would check all the boxes. Well, with a Fannie Mae Homestyle loan, as long as the expected value, as determined by a licensed appraiser, after the repairs is still 5% more than the loan amount, then boom, you got yourself a contract. And if your buyers are first-time home buyers, then they can go up to 97% of the value of the home in renovations, plus the agreed upon sales price. Now, the repairs and upgrades have to be done by an agency approved, licensed and bonded contractor. And that contractor has to put together a detailed bid outlining the cost of the job that must also be approved. But as long as the appraiser can support the expected value with the added costs, then you can close on the loan and start the work after the loan is closed. So the timeline for closing is very similar to that of a standard purchase. Now, each loan product does have its own requirements and will vary a little bit depending on the size of the rehab. So talk to your lender about what you need to look out for. But if you have a buyer that hasn't even considered this when looking at homes, especially right now with there being so few homes on the market, putting this loan on their radar might open up a whole bunch of properties that they otherwise would never have even considered. And they get to make it the home that they want before they even move in. And oh, by the way, if you have a seller who just isn't willing to put any work into the home and you're having a really hard time moving it, then put this option in the listing description to make potential buyers and agents aware of what your property could be. Look, these loans have been around forever, but often buyers and agents' lack of understanding of the options available to them can limit their choices when it comes to homes that they would even consider offering. So this is just a friendly reminder that there are all kinds of loans out there that can solve all kinds of problems. You just have to ask. And if you want to know more about these loans, give me a call. I'm happy to walk you through how they work in detail so you can add one more weapon to your real estate arsenal. Well, my friends, that is all for today. Thanks for spending a few hot minutes with me to stay informed about what's happening in this crazy business that we all know and love. I hope I was able to add a little bit of information to your real estate brain. Join me on Thursday for a very special episode where I welcome a local realtor that's going to help you create your value proposition as a listing agent. You see, the changes coming our way in August are going to make what you do, how you do it, and what it's worth be of the utmost importance when it comes to grabbing that next listing. So we're going to give you the tools to help you create and write down that value proposition so you're ready for your next listing in this new normal. And joining me for this listing masterclass is none other than my lovely wife, Susan Mills. This will actually be our second time doing the podcast together. So tune in and get a little peek into what my life outside of real estate in this podcast is really like, and hopefully get some insight on how to build that value proposition for this new era of real estate. Until then, be great humans and keep grinding, because life is what you make it. So make it great. See you next time.